I'm going to share a little bit tonight about the glory. We have been seeing some fantastic things at KICC. And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the glory realm and seeing more of God's glory. And so today, I want to turn your attention to a scripture that we're going to be looking at. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, and it's verses 21 to 22. And it says this, "In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." We're going to come back to this. The glory of God is increasing, church. Oh, that deserves a bigger amen, I think. The glory of God is increasing. All over the world, we are hearing fantastic stories of people having encounters with the presence of the Lord. Things that are happening all around the world, it's mind-boggling. It's astonishing. God is on the move, and His glory, His presence is being poured out all over the world. And it's being poured out here at KICC. I remember the days, you know, when we had to go to special meetings. You know, when there was these big conferences and people would rent out the Air Canada Center. Now it's the Rogers Center. But there would be these big preachers that would come in and they would have these big conferences and we'd had to go to these special meetings. Or, you know, the church that you were going to, they'd have special meetings and an evangelist would come in and we had to go to these meetings in order to see healings, in order to see deliverance, in order to see people receive freedom. It was only at these meetings that these things happened. And I remember, you know, being told that we had to fast. And you have to pray, because if you don't fast and you don't pray, you're not going to see the miraculous happen. And so I remember being a younger Christian, being taught that these things would only come if I worked, if I fasted and if I prayed and if I went to these special meetings. But I want to tell you something today, church. God is changing that in our generation. God is changing that in our generation. And as we gain more revelation and understanding, and as we develop more of a hunger for Him, we are going to see more of these great manifestations. We are going to see more of His glory poured out. We are going to see more of the miraculous and the supernatural happening. As we seek Him, as we understand, as we learn, more is coming, church. More is coming. And it is because of the more, because of what Jesus did for us, we can walk in these things. See, it is because of the power of His resurrection that greater glory is now available to us, the church. There is power in His resurrection. There is great power. The resurrection of Jesus was not just an event in history. It's not simply the thing by which we mark our timeline with. It's not simply a historical event. The resurrection of Jesus released the fullness of God's glory here on the earth. The resurrection of Jesus released all of God's goodness here on the earth. Hello, somebody. Are you guys still with me? The resurrection of Jesus opened the heavens. Before Jesus' death and resurrection, God's glory was veiled. The people didn't have direct access to it. Moses was only able to see God's glory from a distance. He saw the burning bush. God told him, "You cannot face me." Moses was only able to see it from a distance. The disciples were only able to see glimpses of it in Jesus when He was here on the earth. But after the resurrection, somebody say after. After the resurrection, His glory was unleashed, and we now had access to something that nobody else in history had access to. Remember when the resurrection happened? When Jesus was on the cross and He gave His final words, and then there was the veil that was in the temple, and it was torn. It was torn in two. That tearing of the veil signifies that the barrier between us and the glory of God is no longer. The barrier between us and the glory of God was removed. The barrier between us and the kingdom of heaven disappeared. There is no more barrier now, friends. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to pray. We don't have to go to temple. We don't have to go to any of these things to experience God's goodness and His glory. We don't have to do religious works. I don't have to go and fast and pray like they used to tell me to. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to fast and pray anymore to get God's glory, to experience his glory. The glory of God is available to everyone who comes to him through Jesus. The glory of God is available to every child of God, everyone who has surrendered their life to Jesus. You can now go to heaven through Jesus, our mediator, and we can access the glory of God. Hebrews 10:19 says this, "We have confidence to enter the most high place by the blood of Jesus." See, what was once reserved for a select few is now available to everybody. What was once reserved for those who were in the temple and did the works is now available to everybody. It is available to you, church. We no longer have to do all this religious stuff and get religious about the glory of God. We don't need to come to the altar and cry and pray and speak in King James. We can actually just come and experience the glory of God without any works, without any pretenses. All we have to do is come through Jesus. It is because of his resurrection that we can now walk in a level of glory that Moses never knew. It is because of his resurrection that we can walk in a level of glory that the disciples never knew. We here on the other side of the resurrection have access to all of heaven. And that is a fantastic thing. The resurrection gives every child of God the right to walk in his glory. It is not for the special. It is not for the select few. It is not for the highly educated. It is not for the people that have a gazillion titles behind their name. It is not for any of those people. There are no special people anymore. We're all special. And we can all access everything that the kingdom has. There are no more pretenses. There are no more barriers, friend. The glory of God is ours to access. According to our text, we see here that there's something very specific being said. The text is telling us that the primary purpose of the church is to be a place for the presence of God. Looking back at it again in Ephesians 2, it says, "In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord," which is the church, "in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Did you see that last part? We are being, this says fitted, but we are being built together. We are being meshed together. God is putting us together in a place where his Spirit can dwell. And so the church is actually supposed to be a habitation and a dwelling place for the glory of God. The church is supposed to have the glory of God. The church is supposed to see the supernatural signs and wonders of the glory of God. We were never called to just exist. We were never called to just have a big, beautiful building and run really cool programs. We were never called to just be a really nice place in the community where people can come and have coffee time. That is not what the church is. The church is called to have the glory of God reside within it. Those things are great. We're going to have a beautiful building soon. But what is a beautiful building without the presence of the Lord? What is a beautiful building without the signs and wonders of heaven? What is a beautiful building without healing and deliverance and freedom? What would a building be with Gabe sick? What would a building be with people walking around maimed and lame and hurt and in pain? What good is a beautiful building if the glory is not there? We were called to carry the glory. Fancy buildings are great, but if they're void of the presence of God, then what good are they? God is building his church on the earth for a habitation. We are called to habitate, to have a dwelling place for the glory of God. His church is a place where God can come and be here with us and be here among us. Now, let me clarify something here. In this text, Paul is not talking about individuals or people just having the presence of God in their lives, because once we become born again, the presence of God comes inside of you. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you. You are carrying the presence of God in you. If you are born again here tonight, you have the presence of the Lord inside of your life. When you became born again, you became a temple of God. We are the temple of His Spirit. But in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says this, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" The Holy Spirit is inside of us. We have the Spirit of God. But watch this. Looking back at our text, it tells us that we are being built together. So it is when we are together, we are also collectively called the temple of God. So individually, we are temples of God, but collectively as a body, we are the temple of God. The actual church is His temple. Not us individually, but us together collectively. The New Living Translation says it this way, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you?" Have you ever heard people say, "I'm the church"? They walk around and, you know, we see reels and you might see this on social media. People be like, "Okay, you're in the church here, but go outside and now be the church." You ever hear people say, like, "I'm the church"? But according to Ephesians 2:22, we are not just the church alone. We are the church together. We are not just individually the church. We are the church as a body. We are the church corporately. We are the church collectively. This is not an individual thing. This is a together thing. And God was very, very clear that the church collectively is supposed to be a place where He resides as well. And so the physical corporate church becomes a place where we can meet God. When we come to church, we should expect to meet God. How sad is it that you come to church and you go through the routine and the ritual of being at church on a Sunday morning? I've put in my hour and a half, and now I'm gone. But you have no encounter. You have no moment with the Lord. You don't experience His presence. You don't experience His goodness. That is not what He called us to do. We are supposed to be a place where we meet with God. In Ephesians 2:22, it says that we are being built up to meet with God. We as the church are supposed to be filled with His presence. He wants a place where His presence can be poured out. He wants a place where people can come and meet with Him. He wants a place where people can come and be healed. He wants a place where people can come and receive His freedom. He wants a place where people can come and receive His joy and receive His prosperity and receive His blessing and receive His restoration and receive His healing. He wants a place where people can come because that is His heart. His heart is for us to live whole. His heart is for us to be whole. But we need to be in that place where He can come. Too many times, He's not even allowed in. There are so many times in churches all around the world, they exclaim His name, but they have nothing to do with Him. They don't even let Him in. Got to stick to the program. We have 1.5 hours, 1 hour, 30 minutes. We got to do praise. We got to do worship. We got to do offering. We got to do the sermon. We got to send kids to Sunday school and then get everybody out. Next service starts at 11 p.m. or 11 a.m. You could go at 11 p.m. if you want to. But it's so structured, and they exclaim His name. We're Christians. We believe in Jesus. But they don't even allow Him in. That is not what His heart is. He wanted His church to be a place where His manifest presence could be among us. He wanted His church to be a place where when we gathered and we came together, that we would experience His goodness. He wanted His church to be a place where we could host His presence. We are called to host His presence. You know, there's so many people and COVID was such a disservice for so many reasons, but coming out of COVID, there's so many people now that just feel like they don't need the church. And there's this growing belief, this lack of understanding that I could just stay home and I'll meet with God. I'll do my own Bible study. I'll watch something online. I'll put on some worship music and I'm just going to be fine. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be part of a body. I don't need to be part of anything. I'm just going to stay home and I'm going to get exactly what I need. That's a lie. That's a lie from hell. We are not called to do life alone, friends. We are not called to live in isolation. We are not called to be disconnected from each other. We are not called to go and stand alone on an island and think that we can have it all. We can't. There are so many studies in this world that show you isolation leads to so many things that are not supposed to be in our life. Depression, anxiety, loneliness. We are not called to do this life alone. And we are not called to stay away from church. You can't get at home what you can get in a house that's filled with the presence of the Lord. You just can't. Anyone and anything that stops you from coming to the house of the Lord is sent by the devil. Anybody who tries to distract you and dissuade you and tell you you don't need to be part of a church, you don't need to be in the presence of God, they are lying to you. That is the enemy using them, trying to pull you out of his presence so that you can't get what he wants for you. That you can't meet with your Father. That's the enemy stepping in and trying to dissuade you so that you don't come into his presence and receive and encounter and commune with him. They're trying to get you to miss out on your blessing, to miss out on your meeting with your Father. See, the temple isn't just an idea. It's a place where his presence dwells among his people. We are called to be a people that dwell amongst the presence of our Father. You know, being here in this space, and many of you know the story, we had to move very suddenly. It wasn't something that we planned. It was something that was out of our control, and we had to find a space quick. And so we ended up here, not by choice per se, but we ended up here. And you know, in that those moments where we were scrambling and trying to find a place where we can go, there were some people who thought, oh, you should just go online. Oh, you should just shut down the church and just do like a remote service and just wait until everything works itself out. And that would have been easy. That maybe actually even would have been convenient. But it is not what God called us to do. Because we are a church that's called to host his presence. And while you might be able to meet him online, you can sure meet him when you're in the house, when his presence is moving, when the glory fills the room. There's nothing like it, church. You can't get that experience online. And you can't get that experience in your home. There is something different about being in the house of God where his presence is. This was an obedience thing because we know God moves here. God is here, and it's where he wants to be. He desires a gathering of his people, a place where his glory can be seen and felt and encountered. Have you ever had a real encounter with his Spirit? I know a lot of you in this room has. There is nothing that can even replace that. Nothing that comes close to that. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16, it says this, I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. The early church didn't live in isolation. They were together all the time. They walked together, they ate together, they slept in the same houses together, they went and they waited on the Lord. They were never in isolation. They were always meeting together. They were always praying together. They were always worshiping together. And the presence of the Lord fell among them when they were together. And it fell in mighty ways. Acts 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And so we decided that we were not going to shrink back, but we were going to stand firm. And we refused to shut things down. We believed that his manifest presence was something that we would see, that we would encounter, and that we would receive. And let me tell you, church, we have been encountering it. We have been receiving it, and we have been seeing the supernatural, miraculous wonders of the Lord. You see, when the atmosphere is stirred up in the house of God, there is nothing like it. There is nothing. You cannot make the stuff up that happens in the presence of the Lord. You can't fake the healings that we've been seeing. You can't fake the freedom that we've been seeing. You can't make that stuff up, church. That stuff is purely because the presence of the Lord is in the house. The presence of the Lord is in the house, and that is the primary purpose of his church, to be a place where his spirit can abide. We are called to be a place where his spirit can abide, because you know what? When we are in his presence, anything can happen. The miraculous happens. The impossible happens. The things that the world says, it will not happen. It's irreversible. It's a lifelong thing. You're stuck with it. It's just going to go downhill from here. Not in the kingdom of God. Not in his presence. Not in his presence. So we are called collectively to be his church, his temple, his dwelling place. How do we do that? First, we need to remember who we are. We are not abandoned. We are not alone. We are children of God. We are children of God. We are sons and we are daughters. We are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We are saved. We are sanctified. We are set free. We belong to the Most High God, the ruler of the universe, the creator of everything. That is who we call our Father. We are not alone. We don't have to beg him for his attention. We don't have to beg him for his love. We don't have to beg him for his goodness. We don't have to do works to access anything that he has for us. We don't have to do any of those things because we have unlimited access to our Father. Unlimited. You can come 50 times a day. You can come 50 times an hour. He's never going to say, "I'm sorry, you've reached your limit. You can't talk to me today. I've just talked to you too much. I'm done." We might feel that way about people sometimes, but God never feels that way about us. Never. We have unlimited access to our Father. And guess what? He delights in us when we come. He delights in us as we live. He delights in us, in who we are, in the things that we do, in the quirky ways that we say things, in the silly senses of humor that we have. He delights in all of it. He delights in us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we are no longer defined by our past. Amen and hallelujah. We are no longer defined by our past. Our past can stay exactly where it is, in the past. Our past can stay exactly where it is. I'm not that person anymore. I don't go by that name anymore. I don't do those things anymore. My past is not who I am. My past mistakes and my failures is not who I am. That is not, I am now a child of God. I am a new creation. I am born again, and God is doing something new inside of me. And God is doing something new inside of you. You are not your past. We've all made mistakes. Listen, we've all messed up. We've all done things we shouldn't have done. Some of us a little bit more than others. But we've all done it. In Christ, none of those things matter anymore. In Christ, we are loved. In Christ, we are welcomed. In Christ, we are the righteousness of God. And we can walk into the presence of the Lord at any time because we don't got to work for it. The veil has been torn. The gap has been closed. We can go to see our Father any moment of the day that we want to. So walk in confidence, friends. Walk in confidence. Walk in who you are. It's okay to wake up in the morning and walk around. I'm a child of God. We don't just wear those t-shirts because they look good. We actually believe it here. We are children of God. We are not strangers. We are not some random person that he picked up along the way. No, he knows us. And he loves us. We are his children. He is not distant from us. We have full access to him. We are not rejected. We are not dejected. We are fully accepted by Jesus Christ in all of our substance, the good and the bad. He accepts all of us. We are never alone. We are never stranded. We are never without hope. Never. You are a child of the Most High God, friend. Let this truth sink in today. He delights in you. He delights in you. And he wants to be a place where he can dwell amongst you. The other thing we have to do is we have to create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is welcomed. And if we're really going to welcome him, then we need to make the space for him. Because he doesn't do things always in our timeline. And he doesn't do things always according to our schedule. And he doesn't do things according to the lineup that we have and the service time that we have. He has his own way of doing things. And we just have to be open to it and create that space for him. To create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is welcomed. See, atmosphere is a key component for the presence of God. Have you ever been in those moments where you just feel his presence fill the room? Where you can just feel it? People experience it so many different ways. Sometimes people say they have goosebumps. Sometimes you can feel just this overwhelming sense of his goodness. We have to create an atmosphere for that. He's not going to move according to our short little schedules. I'll give you an hour and a half. Do it now. All right, let's move. Chop, chop. I've got things to do. We have to create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is welcomed because atmosphere is the key component for the presence of God. And as we cultivate the atmosphere, his presence will begin to manifest. See, we want to see so much more of what God has. We want to see so much more of his glory here at KICC. We want to see people come in here with wheelchairs and walk out pushing them. We want to see people have limbs grow out. We want to see the supernatural crazy things that we've been hearing. Jewels falling from the sky. Angels appearing that we can see. We want to see all of the glorious things that God has in his realm. We want to see those things. But we have to cultivate an atmosphere for God's presence to manifest. See, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself. If you don't open the door and make room for him, he's not going to push his way in. He's not going to be like, let me in, I'm taking over. We have to let him. We have to want him to come in and do what he is, do what he's known to do. We have to make him feel welcome. We have to have the attitude, the right attitude to welcome the Holy Spirit. You know, you have to welcome him. He's not just going to throw himself on you. You have to be open to it. You have to have a hunger and a thirst for it to know that, hey, there's heavenly things that God wants me to have, and the only way I can do it is when I'm in his presence. We have to worship from the heart. Not just worship because we think we sound good or we can play good or, you know, we like the sound of the music. No, we actually have to worship him from our heart, cry out to him and tell him how good he really is. We have to worship from our heart. Do you remember when Paul and Silas, there's a story in the Bible, it tells us about Paul and Silas, how they'd been captured and they were in chains and they were in jail. And they were locked up. It was a really bad place. Jails in those times, they were gross. They were really nasty. And they were like living amongst the rats and stuff. And despite what was happening around them, they said, you know what? We're just going to praise the Lord. We are called to be carriers of his presence. And they began to worship. They began to worship and they began to praise and they began to sing unto the Lord and they began to declare his goodness. Even in the situation that looked so terrible, they kept their eyes on the God that was so good. And they said, God, you are good to us. You are amazing. And they began to sing and pray as they were shackled, as they were sitting in the mud, as rats were running over their feet. They began to pray and give God thanks and declare his goodness. And you know what happened? God found them, and he set them free. Their chains were loosed, the prison doors were open, and they were free. And tonight, he wants your chains to be loose, he wants the prison doors to be open, and he wants you to be free. In every single area of his life, that's what his presence does, that's what his love does, that's what his glory does. His glory sets us free. His glory moves us from the dark places into the light places. His glory picks us up and dusts us off and places us exactly where we're supposed to be. Today, tonight, this very moment, he wants to move you into his next level of glory. There is more for us, church, and we are committed to going after the more. Is anybody going to go with us? We are committed to going after the more. We want to see more of God's glory. Every time we get together as a church, we want to see people receiving and encountering the glory of the Lord. There is no end to the amazing things that he will do if we allow him. There is no end. There's no cap. Our wildest imaginations can't even conceive the things that it is that he wants to do. The Bible tells us, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the minds of men and women what it is that God has for us. He has more for us, church. And so today I want to encourage you as we are going and as we continue to teach and as we continue to talk about the glory of the Lord, be ready for it. Open yourself up to it. Seek after it. He wants us to be his habitation. He wants us to be his dwelling place. He wants us to be carriers of his glory.